Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. So, commenting on the 30th anniversary of the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. Of course, it's not the exact day. I missed that a few days ago, the 4th of November or the 12th of Heshvan, according to the Hebraic calendar. I don't know where that falls in the Gregorian calendar this year. So, it's the Prime Minister of Israel and the only PM of Israel to be assassinated. Indeed, I think the only one to die in office. Of any cause, and he was shot dead by Yigal Amir. Yigal Amir was an ultra-Zionist who wouldn't accept Rabin's efforts to achieve peace. Yigal Amir wanted to keep the Palestinian simply as a helot class, so the Oslo Accords were ongoing at the time. So Mr. Rabin had been at a rally at the Kings of Israel Square in Tel Aviv, subsequently renamed in his honor Rabin Square. And when the rally came to an end, then he walked away from steps of the steps down City Hall towards his waiting vehicle. Amir stepped forward out of the crowd and fired three shots, very close range, two of which struck Rabin, who was rushed to hospital, and he died of exsanguination shortly thereafter. Both his lungs had been punctured. So Amir was immediately seized upon by Rabin's bodyguards. Okay, found guilty. Serving life imprisonment and so forth. Now, it's been confirmed by the Israeli government that Mr. Yigal Amir will never be set at liberty. So only 2 days later, Yitzhak Rabin was laid to rest on Mount Herzl in Jerusalem. Herzl being the name of the founder of modern Zionism, Theodor Herzl, the Hungarian journalist who wrote Der Judenstaat in 1896, which envisaged founding a homeland for the Jewish people, not necessarily in Palestine. They considered Uganda and other places. So President Bill Clinton of the United States attended, as well as very other world leaders. So now Bill Clinton was a hardline Zionist, viciously racist towards the Palestinians, applauded many massacres of the Palestinians. The Palestinians really had lost militarily. They had no options really now to play. They were told they were going to get something rather than nothing. Some of them tried to settle for that. There were obviously hardliners in the Palestinian state who said, we can't accept this. Not only we're not getting back what we had before 1948, we're getting back very little. You know, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, but there are lots of these Israeli illegal colonies there. We won't be allowed our own army, our own air force, our own navy. We won't really control our own borders. This is horrific. We'll have sort of agreeing to our own occupation, so forth. But anyway, the slightest concession to Palestinians, any increment of justice for them, was utterly unacceptable to outspoken racists like Yigal Amir. And there's a considerable body of opinion in Israel to this day which still lauds him. So that was him. Now, he was one of the better prime ministers that Israel's ever had, Yitzhak Rabin. And of course, he committed war crimes too, but sometimes he fought honorably within the laws of war and so forth. So he'd been Prime Minister for Israel for over 3 years at the time of his death. He was leader of the Israeli Labour Party, so one of the more moderate ones on the Palestinian issue. So Rabin, as in meaning rabbi in Russian. So his parents had come from what's now Ukraine. They'd immigrated to Palestine before the First World War. So Yitzhak Rabin, he was born in a British mandatory Palestine. That was it. So he was involved in fighting against the Arabs, Haganah, and so on during the Second World War. And obviously the Israeli War of Independence, 1948, and so forth. Yeah. So he also expelled Palestinian civilians, men, women, children, and so on. So that's an act of ethnic cleansing and so forth. So, yeah, he served in various roles, ambassador to the United States, despite him saying disliking learning the English language. And he spoke it pretty good by the end, was prime minister briefly in the 1970s. Held various other portfolios, such as minister for defense. Anyway, so famously on the lawn of the White House, he said, "Enough of blood and tears," which is widely applauded. There, Bill Clinton was to midwife this peace agreement between them. But obviously, the United States certainly couldn't be an honest broker. The United States, which was the armorer and the treasurer of one of the protagonists, how on earth could they be seen to be dealing in an even-handed manner between the oppressed and the oppressor? But Yasser Arafat, chairman of the whatever Palestinian is it National Committee, yeah, whatever for this liberation Palestine Liberation Organization, he did accept it because they'd suffered such heavy losses, and it was the only way they're going to gain anything. And there have been less ungenerous peace offers since. So that was it. So he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts. Goodness. It was a real failure by his security detail. So that's why they're rather tighter then, because you're looking around, anyone suspicious, da da da. Does anyone have his bulge under his clothes, hands in his pockets? I don't know how they managed to lapse, because his bodyguards, their primary mission is to keep their principal alive. And not just that, ideally free from harm altogether. Now, maybe it's Yitzhak Rabin's fault to some extent. Was it too risky? Should have been wearing a bulletproof vest, things like that. Had he taken some precautions, perhaps he wouldn't have been killed. Could they do something that's not completely open to the public, where they can search people on the way in? There was obviously some risk of course, of being assassinated from Palestinians all the time. But Yitzhak Rabin, there were a few good things about him. He wanted what he was doing so was not simply because military pressure the Palestinians put on Israel, but there was some common decency to him, perceive them as human beings who must have some sort of a homeland, unlike what's happened now, this ultra-aggressive hawk, Benjamin Netanyahu, this mass murderer and so on, who's visited untold barbarities on the Palestinian people, who's an international terrorist, committing murders in Tunisia and Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Lebanon, Syria, constantly attacking civilians abroad, holding Palestinians in the most unspeakably inhumane conditions in underground dungeons where they don't get to see the sun for months, the promiscuous use of torture, and on and on and on, and so forth. Never discount the bankers involved with these things, but I never heard that. That sounds to me a bit like crackpot. All right. So coming back to, and then they say there's a rising tide of anti-Semitism. Maybe that's true. And obviously, anti-Semitism is despicable, whether against Arabs or against Jews. Remember, Arabs are Semites too. So most anti-Semitism is anti-Arab bigotry because they outnumber the Jews more than 10 to 1. As though a criticism of Israel, hostility of the Israeli government rather than the Israeli people, almost as though that's got no connection whatsoever with the actions of the Israeli government and the IDF. Of course it does. So when will we see his like again? Obviously, Israeli people are infuriated by the 7th of October attacks. They're so pumped full of hateful propaganda, it's very difficult for them to calm down. And obviously, there've always been some gallant and wise Israelis who want to treat Palestinians decently. And likewise, some Palestinians. It's very, very not difficult for Palestinians, not for their blood to boil with fury at the constant savagery they've been subjected to, this orgy of racist violence. And when they try to defend their homeland, they're called terrorists, which is blatantly false. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then to PayPal. Do what you can to work for peace and justice.